Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Joy of Living Workshop. My name is Sarah, and this morning I'm being joined by Barbara and Ginger, and we're all from Arizona. And we thought we'd start the workshop this morning by reading the first two paragraphs of Step 12, which really set the stage for this morning's workshop. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. The joy of living is the theme of AA's 12th step, and action is the key word. Here we turn outward toward our fellow alcoholics who are still in distress. Here we experience the kind of giving that asks for no rewards. Here we begin to practice all 12 steps of the program in our daily lives so that we and those about us may find emotional sobriety. When the 12th step is seen in its full implication, it is really talking about the kind of love that has no price tag on it. Our 12th step also says that as a result of this practice, of practicing all the steps, we have each found something called a spiritual awakening. To new AAs, this often seemed like a very dubious and improbable state of affairs. What do you mean when you talk about a spiritual awakening, they ask. So our agenda this morning will be to share our personal 12-step stories for a few minutes, and then we'll break into groups to brainstorm the 12-step initiatives and efforts and experiences that each of us have had. We're hoping that as each of us leave the workshop today, we'll have some new ideas and experiences and hope to share with the people in our meetings, in intergroup, in our communities, and to re-energize us to do 12-step work. Because, as we just read, action is its key word. Here we turn outward toward fellow alcoholics who are still in distress. Here we experience a kind of giving that asks no rewards. To paraphrase what I learned in the Big Book a long time ago, is that we can't keep what we've been so generously given if we don't give it away. So today we're going to learn some ideas for giving it away. So those of you who know me, I came into the rooms 15 years ago, and I came in because a family member was in a 12-step program for drug addiction, and we were at a family workshop, and the counselor said to me, I weighed 275 pounds, 150 more than today, and she said to me, substitute the word food for alcoholic. And I was really resentful and really angry. Like, this isn't about me. This is about my family member. Why are you, like, talking to me? And it was a weekend workshop. And after a weekend of sharing all the meetings with our family member, it kind of resonated to me. And so the next week, I was in another 12-step program of codependency to help deal with this family member. And someone said to me, I have a solution for you. Will you come with me to a meeting? And I said, I'm too busy. She said, that's exactly why you need to come. And I said, that makes sense. I get it. I'm out of control. So I went with her, and by the grace of a sister 12-step program, and by the grace of God, found my abstinence that day. So I was abstinent, and these ladies knew me then. 15 years ago for about a year and a half, and many of you in here knew me. And then I was, thought I graduated, you know? I mean, hey, I look like this, and I knew what to do, and I could do it on my own. So it's been 15 years of on and off, and about 7 years ago, I found CHOW. And I've been back-to-back abstinent now for almost 14 months through the grace of God and back to having released a total of 150 pounds. So I am so grateful and Yay! So blessed and Yay! So joyful, and my life is so different. So I shared my two 12 steps that people had 12-stepped me with. And my spiritual awakening was July of last year when I was on the beach with my two-year-old grandson. And I had gained 80 pounds back, so add that back. It was a starting number with a 2. And I was like a beached whale at the top of the beach when they were playing in the water. And the tears were streaming down my face. We waited a long time to be grandparents. Our kids were in their late 30s. We never thought we would be. And this little boy is the joy of my life. And I just kept thinking, I won't be alive. I mean, if I keep this up. And my higher power spoke to my heart and said, you know what you need to do. And that day I called my sponsor, who had been my sponsor and had never given up on me. And that from that day on, the compulsion was removed. I was willing to do what for 15 years I had never done, which was turn my will over to my higher power for everything. I always gave him my food, right? You know how that works. Doesn't work too well. But this time I said, I need to do this. You can do with me whatever you will. And from that moment, the freedom from compulsion was lifted. The joy of living came into my life. The willingness to do service. And those of you who know me, I work 12 hours a day at a day job. I don't have time, but God showed me how to make time. God showed me how to be able to travel for work and stay abstinent. God showed me how to deal with this family member who is still a pain in the ass and not eat over it. And God taught me to live in the moment, and unbelievable gifts. So I want to share them today, and thank you for letting me into your lives. And next is Barb.
Good morning, everybody. So wonderful to see your bright, healthy, shining, abstinent faces. I'm Barbara, compulsive eater. Very grateful to be with you this morning. I am just going to take a minute to qualify and then try to tell you three of my 12-step experiences. I have been with CEA Howe approximately 20 years. I started way back 1999 in Michigan. When I start, and you have heard this before, I had an 11-year stint of in and out, in and out. That willingness to work the tools just was not complete enough. So lost 32, gained 42 in that 11-year back and forth. I always say I'm the queen of day ones. I'll run you for your money. I've got the most. It took me until 2010 to return. I returned, it was in Las Vegas. And I think one of my spiritual awakenings happened then. I did sense the willingness that, certainly the gift of desperation. And one of my thoughts was to choose a steady sponsor. Be careful of the sponsor I picked. Try to choose somebody that had strong program. So as I returned in 2010, program worked. I lost that 42 pounds in approximately 6 months. I always say when this program works for you, it works. If your body loves this program, it loves it. My back-to-back is technically May 7th, 2014. However, I want you to know I have been at goal weight since July of 2010. I got these dates. I want you to go back to that first meeting in Michigan way back in 1999, and I believe that was my first 12th, the first time I was 12th stepped. I had a friend, and she was my friend Melissa. She was a friend from another 12-step program. And when I saw her, I could tell she was smaller. She just was small. I said, what are you doing? You know, and we always were in the same boat, just trying to lose that 10, 20 extra pounds. She said, well, there's a CEA Howe meeting. And surprisingly, it was a very large meeting in Michigan. And, you know, my point is, it was like a physical 12th step. I just saw her. She was physically smaller, and that motivated me. And by that time, I was familiar with 12-step programs. I always knew a 12-step food program could probably work for me. But as you can see, I had 11 years before that willingness really clicked in. And then along the way, as I have become committed and very happy in program, as I look at my friends going through significant experiences, what I would call difficult experiences, and seeing them staying committed to program and really turning things over, letting go, letting God, you know, it helps me. And that gives me one of my inspirations, it helps my spiritual commitment. And then in the last few years, there's been more willingness to participate in service. And this year I have been a delegate the last 3 years, 3 years. And I am Area 2 chairperson. And then I was an area rep before that. But this year, I just can't tell you, at that business meeting, which begins Wednesday evening, it goes Thursday, we concluded yesterday about 3 o'clock-ish. I don't know. It just filled my heart. It filled my heart. It filled my soul with spirit, with commitment, to be passionate about this program, about making changes in the food program, which you'll be happy. We have more food. We have a few more increases. You know, it's just that comfort. It's beyond a level of comfort. It's being satisfied. It's being filled. It filled my heart. So I find the service very, very touching. I do feel that joy of living that I have always wanted. So grateful to see everybody here, and I will move this along to Ginger.
Thank you, and good morning. My name is Ginger, and I am a compulsive eater, and I am so grateful to be here and so honored. And one of the things Ray Z, our co-founder, used to say at these conventions is, I am looking at the most beautiful people. I am seeing recovery in your eyes, and we are united because we are compulsive eaters. And, you know, the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to the alcoholics, to the compulsive eater, who practice these principles in all our affairs. And when I first came into a 12-step program in 1989, I lost 50 pounds. I had never been anything less than a size 12, and I was a size 4. I thought I was beautiful. I looked, you know what I look like if I was that weight. Anyway, I would shout from the mountaintops. If someone saw me eating a piece of fruit, I would say, oh, do you want to hear how I did it? I lost all this weight, you know, and nobody wanted to hear what I had to say. And so what I learned in these rooms is that the best way to practice these steps is to live the steps and to be kind and loving and people see you, and people observe the way you eat. You don't need to shout it. If they want to ask you, you can tell them quietly. And I feel so gifted to be in this program. For 22 years, I'm upstaging Barbara. For 22 years, I tried so many day ones and didn't do it. And my spiritual experience happened on PhoneBridge. I came into a face-to-face meeting. I heard about it on Monday. I went on Wednesday. I stuffed my face as much as I could. I was pissed because on Wednesday at work, I couldn't leave early to stop at food on the way to the meeting. But I went to that meeting, and I saw familiar faces, and I saw smiles, and I saw physical recovery. And for some reason, I was there just to lose 10 pounds for my son's wedding. For some reason, I got on PhoneBridge. And when they read the concept, which I had heard hundreds of times before in our sister program, when I heard the tools, steps, and traditions were not suggested, they're required, something clicked in my brain. And suddenly, even though I worked full time and blah, 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 I went to 3 meetings. And with PhoneBridge, I'm on meetings almost every day. You know, I still go to face-to-face because I believe face-to-face is very important, but that PhoneBridge has saved my life. I hung up my uniqueness. I just totally got rid of that I can have excuses. I don't need excuses anymore. I have serenity today. And one of my mantras is, may thy will be my will. And so, you know, Leanne, many of you know Leanne, she was in a tragic car accident and she is recovering. She was going to be here this morning and she couldn't get into the car. And she sends her love. But she has modeled for me how to be kind and loving and how to be of service. And being of service has kept me abstinent for 8 years, 3 months, and 6 days. And I have released approximately, I don't know, 25 pounds in this program, 40 to 50 altogether. But more than the weight, it's how I look at things and how I deal with things. And I am so glad that I have this program. And I'm so glad that today we're going to talk about what can we do to spread the message. Because this is such a wonderful program. So with that, I will give the mic back to Barbara.
Okay, here is our plan. If you will look around the room, you'll see we have 5 poster boards numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We would like you to number off 1 to 5 and then head to your groups. And then on the poster board, you will see a 12th step question. So we would like you to tell, you know, work as a group, share your experiences. If somebody could please volunteer to be the chairperson, the leader. And I do have magic markers. If you want to write anything on the poster, please go ahead. Well, we're thinking we're going to take about 10 minutes in your groups, and you can rearrange chairs to make yourself comfortable.
If we could now wrap up, wrapping up our final.
Thank you, everybody, for your wonderful your joyful participation. We would like to ask you to, we're just going to stay put. And if the leader or chairperson could please come on up with the board and give us a summary of what you said. And we'll start with group 5 over here.
My name is Rich T., compulsive eater from Los Angeles. So our question was, when has a 12-step not worked? So a couple of things, approaching strangers in public. We've decided not to accost with our recovery in parking lots. With family members and other human beings, there's times where we want it for them, especially family members who just don't see it. And it always feels harder when it's family members that we see struggling and yet they don't want to come. In program, working harder or wanting it more for someone than he or she does for him or herself. Said as a sponsor, when we feel like we're working harder than our sponsees to keep them abstinent, it's probably not working and they need to maybe find a bottom themselves before they're ready to work it. Blurring boundaries in program, similar to the first. We also talked about over-explaining, blowing people out of the water when people have been interested in program, when myself specifically just over-explain, and I'm explaining the tools and the food plan and the scale, and well, you don't have to bring it to restaurants, but you kind of eyeball it, instead of just saying, oh, you want what I have? Why don't you come to a meeting? I'd love for you to come to a meeting, and very organic. And when they're not ready, when we want it for people and they want to lose the weight, but they're not ready to be relieved of compulsive overeating, which is, I find, 2 very different things. And we just wrapped it up by saying, but in all these cases, it may have not worked for the other person, but it's worked for us because we are, staying abstinent by trying to share the message, whether the other person hears it or not. That was our group. Thanks.
Our group 4.
Hi, Karen in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, Karen. Okay, so Michelle, by the way, did the writing, so I want to thank her. How have you successfully 12-stepped others. And many of us felt that we hadn't necessarily done this successfully for others, but we had planted a seed. And we kind of are, most of this discussion was about how we lead by example. And we also let people come to us, and we don't criticize what they are eating or anything about their weight, because it's not about, it's about sharing our spiritual experiences and how it's helped us. Attraction rather than promotion. If someone asks, I say, I have a solution. You know, I think the subset of that is, why not you come to a meeting? In my case, I give them the phone bridge number. If someone, reaching out to others, but we don't push someone until they are ready, because we have had the similar experience of the other group that just wrote. I personally pushed someone before they were ready, and it did not work. We believe that even if they don't accept what we want them to, we kept our abstinence, which is the most important thing. And you remember that Dr. Bob took 2 years before he actually was successful in recruiting someone. And then another person had a lot of things that their group does. They write letters to health professionals, and they go through old lists of meeting members, and they call them to bring them back in and say that we're still here. And I know when I was doing face-to-face meetings, this was huge in helping people come back. And I'll just add to this, when you do a outreach call to someone who's no longer in program, and they might tell you that, but you just say, you know, we're ready to love you if, you know, you like to come back. No shame or embarrassment. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Group three.
Hi. I'm Lisa. I'm a compulsive eater. Hi, Lisa. Let's see. So our question was, how have you been successfully 12th stepped? And we took that pretty much to mean, how did you get here? And we talked too much, so I didn't get to get a comment from every single person. But, you know, a lot of it for us was attraction, just different circumstances. So the first one was someone got here through a therapist and asked and the therapist suggested, or she asked about if he would help her with losing weight. And he or she said, you know what? I know a person who has successfully lost a lot of weight. And that happened to me too. A person came to a facility that I was managing, and she was a psychologist, and she had lots of clients there, and I was real, real fat. And I said, counseling for people with an eating disorder? She said, no, but I know a guy. And I went to a meeting thinking I was going to another program. So I always say I got to see how by mistake. But what a great mistake. Okay, and then another person was in AA, and someone in AA also went to see how, and she got to see how and has had a wonderful experience. Somebody else has a husband who lost weight over the course of a year and a half, and so she joined. And this one I also really loved, and it's a person whose sister was in OA, was in See How, and she learned about See How, but she didn't really get into it until the sister and her husband lost their son. And she said the way they reacted to that terrible loss was so impressive that she came and she said, and I got what they have. So I love that. somebody else that was given literature and didn't do anything with it, in fact, lost it. And they were visiting somebody who was ill and saw the persons again at that person's funeral. and that was the point at which she got into the program. A number of people got here through our sister program and saw such transformation in people and how that came to how. One person was attracted by a newspaper ad. I thought that was so cool. Yeah, yeah. And one person went to a CODA meeting one time only, and some rude person said, "You need to lose weight. Go to see how." But she said at least she got here, dang it. I wouldn't have gone back to that meeting anyway, but that's what we came up with.
Thank you, Lisa. Group two.
Good morning. I'm Esther with an H from North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm representing Group Two. And we started out by making sure we had a common understanding of what 12-stepping meant. And we and our group felt such gratitude. There were those of us among us who felt such gratitude for having been 12-stepped. So we spent a little time sharing our gratitude. And we stepped on to the following examples. But everything seemed to center around attraction as we were talking about what have been your successful 12-step experiences. A person on a train ride observed one of our fellows eating and was very inquisitive, wanted to have some questions answered, person attracted. Then we have another example of a person in program 12-stepping another person in program. And I think we've heard enough at the mic and just face-to-face that we sometimes struggle. God bless me, change you. And this person was able to 12-step, a person who had been successfully 12-stepped was able to successfully assist a fellow who was struggling, who is now doing well and able to successfully 12-step. Okay, then another person at work, colleagues just watched and watched. You know what the colleagues saw. They saw somebody who was eating a certain way, somebody who was holding on to what they did daily. And also, you know, there was some shrinkage going on. And these people were, after months, it took them months to do it, but they asked and they joined. And then we have, from the See How tool, using the tool of the phone calls, sometimes calling, just being very persistent with your call, and you're not calling and say, "Hey, when you're coming back? When you're coming back?" No, it was, "Hey, it's how you doing?" Being kind, being friendly, until the person finally said, "Okay, I get it. I'm coming back." And so using our tool is a way. And we came to another one. We were talking again, and this last one, we were a little bit with gratitude and 12-step, and it's like, I feel so good. And you know what? When we feel good, I think we see it. People see it. And so this one says natural meetings. When you meet people and people think, "Wow, you look so serene." Or there are people who want to be around you because there's something about the way you deal with life. And so we said natural meetings, there's an attraction to you because you're in program. And so that's the representation for Group Two.
Such wonderful joy of living. We're loving this. And our last group, one.
Hi, I'm Loretta from New Jersey, Loretta D. And first I want to report to you that we were so lucky in our group to have Susie the timer with us that everybody who wanted to share got a chance to share. So we're very pleased. 1 minute shares. Okay, so our question was, how has your 12th step increased your joy of living? And one person said, when somebody refers somebody to me to lose weight, that is such an honor to me. It brings me just joy, especially if it's one of my daughters that sends one of her friends to me. That is joy. Somebody else said that he was running from this disease for so long, and when he finally got serious, the way we're serious, the joy came flooding in. And he loves the way that the big book says, we try to carry the message. Maybe we're successful, maybe we're not, but we're continually trying. Somebody else said, somebody asked her, what kind of miracle do you want from God? And she thought about it, and she said to herself, she said, to lose this weight. And by saying that to herself, I guess her eyes became open, because then she saw somebody who was losing weight, and she went to an event where she brought one of her favorite dishes that everybody loves. And this person said, I'm sorry, I can't have that. And she said, nobody ever said they can't have one of my wonderful meals. But that she was open enough to ask that person, what were they doing? So that was a joyful thing. Somebody else said, seeing others who need the program. They want to rush up and they want to, you know, say there's a solution. But that gives this person hope to know that there is a solution and the gratitude that she has been led to the solution. So those are all joyful things. Somebody else was invited from a friend from another program. When that person came to our program, she saw people who had lost 100 or more pounds, and she again got such hope, and there was such joy. Our theme seemed to be hope. The joy and the hope go hand in hand. Along with that hope, I'm sorry, I wrote too full. Thank you. Along with that hope is a surrender, and the surrender is so difficult, but the joy that surrender is possible, and we can see it in others. And then somebody went to their minister for counseling, and the minister was in Seahaw, and the minister suggested this, and that was the joy. Also, seeing others' dreams come true, that not only weight loss, but seeing others, as many have said, modeling this program and showing that they're loving and they're living in self-acceptance, and that's very attractive and joyful, and again, led to hope. And then the joy of developing self-esteem after years of self-loathing and not good enough and all of those things, the joy of developing self-esteem. Originally, this person hated everybody, hated herself, hated others, hated God, but has evolved to the point where people will say to her, you really helped me. And that is so much self-esteem. Somebody actually called from another country to say, oh, how you helped me. And that was the development of self-esteem. So that's where we were in group one.
We would just like to thank each and every one of you, you beautiful people, for being here today. And the joy of living is evident in your faces. Now, let me just read this, please. The Swedish ivy plant is a descendant from a plant grown in Lois Wilson, you know, that's Bill W.'s wife, front yard. And it has been nurtured and cared and tended, just like we nurture and care and tend people in program. This was given to you with love from Leanne. So Leanne made those, and there's more of you than plants. But if you would like a plant, and you'll probably be more successful than I was, but if you'd like one of these Swedish ivy plants, please come up and take one. And also, if you could put the chairs back in rows, that would be great. Have a blessed, blessed day. Thank you.